welcome those that are watching by live stream. Hope this is lively enough for you. Praise God. We're going to warm up in here. It's really cold outside. How many people think it's cold outside? Nobody here. You're all igloo type individuals. T-shirt and igloo. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands up and bless God? Father, we bless You. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You that the Word of God works in cold weather. It does never freeze up. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise, Father, because this Word will go out in a very bold fashion, Father. Stretch forth Your hand that I might have boldness, Father, to preach the Word of God uncompromisingly without fear of man or favor from anyone. We thank You, Jesus, for this Word of God. We thank You that the Word of God is alive, that Your Word of God is like a sword, that Your Word of God will begin to penetrate in the hearts of people, in minds of people, and make discernment what is of You and what is not of You. We thank You, Holy Spirit. We invite You in this service to teach the Word of God. You are the great teacher. You are our guide, our leader, and we can say yes and amen to the Word of God. We thank You that You will unveil and unfold the Word of God to our hearts and our minds, that we may live fully as You have designed it to be. We thank You that the devil is bound. He cannot enter this situation right now. Thank You, Father, that he is bound from operating in our midst. We give You praise for the power of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of Jesus is living a reality in our lives. We invite Him now to operate and to do what He needs to do. Oh, we praise You to transfer, to take out, to weed out, to begin to show us, Father, what You would like us to be. Thank You that we are in Christ and that the Word of God can be received in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34, where we were before. I didn't actually finish off what I wanted to say on Sunday regarding fear of the future. I might just go ahead and say that on Sunday because everyone else was there for Sunday morning. This is kind of the Wednesday crowd, and you always get the best of it. And you're not just the Sunday person. You're here whenever the doors open and whenever you can come. And so that's a real blessing to this church. And you're believing and you're beginning to use your faith to help other people. You're not just here for yourselves. You're here to help other people. And you're here to prepare for your future. And that you're prepared, like Jesus said, you're building your ark before the rain comes. And Jesus said in somewhere in the Bible, Matthew 7, I believe, 28 or somewhere on there. He says in there, 26, 27, 28, that before the rains and the troubles come, the waters come, that we prepare ourselves so that when the day of adversity comes, that you will stand. You're not going to sit idle and wait for trouble to come and then cry out to God. No, you're going to be ready. Say, I'm ready. So you're going to be ready. You're not going to fall. The people who fall are usually the ones that lame around and just kind of like come in whenever they want to. And because it's not a good night, whatever, and they come. And so, but God says, Jesus said, the one who stands in adversity after all the rains and the floods are gone is the one who actually built the foundation of faith, of the Word in their lives. Building. When the doctor says cancer, you just go ahead and laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. And you say, thank God that I'm covered. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you preach financial prosperity when there's no money, glory to God. Amen. Because you know the Word works. And you preach healing when you're sick. You say, I'm healed when you are physically sick. Why? Because faith turns that around. Thank You, Jesus, for whatever it is. Sometimes you have to repent to get healed. Amen? You might have to repent for not obeying God. Maybe you just not obey God, and you went ahead and, didn't listen, and you, left out Bible reading and scriptures or whatever. And, sin can just be not just because you went out drinking and took drugs and you killed someone and drove a car in a ditch. Sin can be just anything. It could be just not obeying the Lord, what he said. Like maybe don't eat your tithe as much. Hey, man, you're wearing all your tithe clothes right now and driving a tithe car. You stole a stolen vehicle. And angels are after you and looking around and praise God. So we thank God for that. You're not a thief, amen? Because the Bible said those people who just go ahead and eat their tithe and just spend their offerings, that they're supposed to give, designated for the Lord, they, God calls them a thief. And you're not a thief, are you? Well, there's a few here are sure they're not, but some of you are kind of wondering if you are or not. Well, God's not going to break your arms if you didn't tithe. He's not going to curse you if you didn't tithe. It's just so much better when you do. It's faith, amen? You don't have to tithe at all. We tithe because we believe God, we love God. And, there's no curse coming. You're blessed, praise God, amen? But you're more blessed if you obey God. That's what I'm trying to say. You just miss out on the blessings of God the way you should. So thank the Lord, amen. So last Sunday we talked about people afraid of the future, and God has so much about the future. He's got so much for you, so you don't have to ever be afraid of how it's going to end up. God always tells you how it's going to end up. Okay, so don't be afraid of that. So we're going to talk about. I was going to put this for another day, but we're going to talk about fear. The fear of man. And I kind of was asking my staff the other day, I said, what's the better term to title this message? Because fear of man, this doesn't fit too right. What if you're afraid of a woman? Or you're afraid of something, but anyway, I'm talking about, I said, well, maybe it's a fear of people's opinions, more specifically. You're afraid of what people might say or whatever. So I just say, well, fear concerning people and fear of opinion. So Psalm 34, 1-4, let's go ahead and read. I'm reading the King James Version. I hope my friends back there have all my notes. And let's go ahead and read this together since we've done that before. It really helps out a lot. And those of you that are watching by television and your live stream, go ahead and pick up your Bible and read along with us. And let's go ahead and read 1-3. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Let's say that two more times. I sought the Lord and he delivered me, and he heard me. Yes. He delivers from all our fears. One more time. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So we're talking about, the topic is fear, and we call it the fear factor. And our proposed idea or our final point of our message tonight is found right here. The fear of man is a snare. Or being afraid of people or their opinions of what they have to say about you or anything else you do can be a bondage or is a bondage. And so some people are held captive to what other people's opinions of them are. They can't do certain things. They can't wear this. They can't go here. They can't attend this church. They can't go to ministry. Whatever it is, they're afraid that what people might say. And I thank God that God has the last say. Amen? So as an introduction, I want to say the fear of man is a bondage. It holds many people in captivity. Many are held captive by the fear of people's opinions in so many matters of their lives. They fear what they may have said or what they thought about them. They regard people's opinions more than what God himself has to think about them or says about them. They'll even disregard, listen to this, they'll even disregard the high calling of God for their lives just to avoid the issue of ever facing their fears about people. Many have abandoned the Spirit-led life of the blessings of God, which God has preordained for them, because they fear what people will say or people have said about them. They have allowed fear to dominate their lives throughout all their lives, and it's held them in captivity, and they can no longer fully participate in the things of God, in the blessings of God. We need to learn how to be liberated and walk in the path of freedom that Christ purchased for us. Amen. Everybody say, I'm liberated by God through Christ. I want us to look over here from in Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1 in Message Bible. You can look at it, whatever version you have. But I'm going to read the Message Bible, and you can look to the screen for what I'm alerting you to. The Bible says that God has set us free. He has set us free through his Son. Now, if you don't ever understand my accent, I have a strong accent from the Ojibwe section of the crowd. Because sometimes I'll say something different, and some of these French people here can't understand me hardly. I try to, that's why I put it on the wall over here. So the Message Bible says this about Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Christ has, everybody say has. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. So someone's opinion of you can harness something on you to keep you in captivity. Their words hold you in bondage, in other words. What they said about you has kept you, a sense of, you feel like you're afraid or you don't want to move out from that, venture out too far, because after all what they said, imagine what everybody else thinks. And so people don't do what God has even told them to do because of what somebody said. I remember, when I first got, I sobered up from going to a treatment center, and I went into a program. I went into a halfway house. After the halfway house, I was kind of like in a three-quarter way house, they call it. And I never made it to there, and I got drunk. But I went back because I was afraid of what people said about me ever going to a treatment center. I was afraid of what they said. They said to me, why are you going to those meetings? And I would back in those days, we used to carry our big books. I don't know if you remember that. People don't carry big books anymore. And so I used to carry my big book, and I'd go on the bus, and I would hide it under my jacket. And so when I got to downtown, where I used to belong to a group, we used to have the old Chronicle Journal building, right where the big building stands with the big, look like big pillars, it's a big Ontario building. It's a beautiful building. People stand by and worship it once in a while as they walk by. It's a nice, it's a beautiful building. And there used to be a building right there called the Chronicle Journal. How many of you remember that? Six people. Well, it was a long time ago, like 85 years ago, I think. It was a long time. It was in the 70s anyway, something like that, but some of you were just born, I would just get off the bus downtown St. Paul. I don't know how many of you remember the St. Paul bus. Everybody would stop at the St. Paul, and you'd get off the bus depot, jump off bus depot there. On St. Paul, and in the 70s, there was that submarine, just run in there and get your sub and run back on and eat your sub on your way home. How many of you ever did that? Nobody ever joined me there. I guess it's the only one. My wife said she used to. But anyway, so I would just get off that bus and look 2, 3, 4 ways and make sure if anybody I might know and if they might saw me, and I would just run down the street there past the, the PA, Prince Arthur, go quickly down a hill and look both ways and make sure nobody saw me going down into that meeting. Because I'm afraid what they might think. Now, I didn't care a few weeks before when they found me on the floor of the Mariachi Hotel. Huh? I never thought about that before. Like, you know, I mean, it's funny after, you think about that in chapter 5 of the book of Mark, you know, the man gets delivered from 2,000 demons. He was chained and broke the chains and was running around naked for a number of years around, hanging around the funeral places. And Jesus comes by and delivers him. The guy cleans himself up and puts his clothes on and starts acting civil, and everybody's afraid of him. Like some of you now, they see you coming down the road, you look cleaned up, man, you're shaven and your hair is clean, you're not matted and anything like that, and you don't have any more black eyes, you have your lips straight, and no bruises, and they're afraid of you. Why? Because you come to Faith City Church. I ain't hanging around with him. He's at Faith City Church, you know. He bypassed the AA clubhouse and came right here. He graduated real quickly. But anyways, we're liberated. It says, never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And so someone's opinion of you can hold you captive. If you hold so dearly to what people think about you. Some people think all night, they lay in bed all night thinking about what someone thought about them. Don't raise your hand. How many people ever felt that? One person, 3 people raise their heads. I said, don't raise your hand. I don't want to reveal your sins, okay? Now, if I said, raise your hand, nobody does. Okay, our serious text in Psalm 34, 1 to 5 there, declares freedom from all fears. All fears means there's nothing left to fear about when it comes to being with God. If the Lord has delivered us from every fear, we don't have any more fears to worry about or to have anxiety over or to have some kind of a burden. If the Lord has done it. There's nothing to fear in life when your life is hid with God. If you're truly walking with God, there's really nothing to fear. And if you died, you'd be much more happier. You don't like that thought, but I know, it's wonderful that people said who died, they said it's great. Now, we don't want to go to heaven right now. We're enjoying what we're having now. When it's funny, when you're enjoying life, you don't want to die. But people who are just desperate, they say, I want to die. And after they get well, they don't want to die anymore. I remember one lady, she was dying of cancer. She was 80-something years old. Brother Hagin and his friend went up to pray for her in their 30s, and they went to pray for this elderly lady. She's a missionary, did a lot of work in the missions. And she's suffering, and she's laying in bed, skin and bones, and they said, let me go ahead and die. I've done a lot of work for Jesus. I'm ready to go home, and I'm suffering. I want to go. He said, no, we're not going to let you die. Well, let me pray for you first. They said, okay. They prayed for her, and then she got healed. They told her, like, let us pray for you and let God heal you. Then you could die if you want to. And after she got healed, she said she didn't want to die. But so you can see that we want to live. In the book of Genesis, we have seen the first sign of fear. We have determined its inception and origin. In the book of Hebrews, it reveals all fears stem from or have their source in the fear of death, which causes everyone to be in bondage. The word death itself has a lot to do with losing or loss or separation from things you love. Losing a loved one, losing a romance situation, losing money, losing a job, losing money, losing whatever it is. So it's loss. Death is loss. So everyone, you know, that is in bondage to that if you don't have Jesus in your life. Because, you know, if you lose something, just like Dr. Yonggi Cho, he said, you could take everything away from me and put me somewhere else. In a few years' time, I'll have the same thing or even more than what I have now. Because you cannot take what's in my heart. And that's the kind of attitude he had. And he's God. And that's the kind of attitude we should have. Not to be afraid of anything, because God lives inside of us. It's getting serious. Let's talk about the definition of fear. You know, I looked at the definition of fear in the Hebrew and the Greek language. And, you know, it just stems from basically, you look at it, and anybody can go to a dictionary. You can look at these up yourself. Fear is a distressing emotion caused by the thought of impending danger or pain or threat. No matter if the fear is real or imagined, we have said that it has damaging effects whether you just think about it. Real or imagined. Fear is a concern or anxiety about something or about someone. Fear are feelings of dread and apprehension towards certain things, conditions, or situations. It's the possibility or anticipation of something unpleasant that may occur. That's what fear is all about. And we've said, you know, originally fear came from disobedience and sin and Adam's anticipation of an unpleasant consequence of the sin. The consequence of man's sin is spiritual death, and it is separation from his human spirit from the spirit of the living God. That's spiritual death. Before you were born again, your spirit was severed from God. Being born again allows you to connect back to God, or what we call being baptized into God. The word baptism in the Bible talks about your first baptism you ever received was the baptism of being born again or being put in Christ. The word baptism means to be put into or to be dunked into or to be immersed into. The Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into the body of Christ. That's your first baptism. And baptism of water just indicates what actually spiritually happened when you accepted Jesus. Because you died with him on the cross. You identified with Jesus on the cross dying. Jesus identified with you on the cross that he was you on the cross. That's called substitution. You take that course with my wife. She's teaching those kind of blood covenant courses. But anyway, when Jesus died, you know, Jesus, as we said, he died spiritually first. Then he gave up his spirit, and he went down. Then he physically died. Secondly, Jesus, was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit went down to get him in the lower regions, the Bible says, you know, and God raised Jesus up. God quickened him. He was the first one born again because he had to die with your sin, became sin for you, took the nature of man that Adam had, that we all have, took the nature of man on the cross, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, that he became sin for us. Corinthians says he became sin for us on the cross. He didn't go sinning, but the nature of sinning was put upon Jesus, and the punishment was put upon Jesus, and he died. He was separated from his Father God. That's why he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was cut off from his Father God for us. And he went down. And the third day, the Holy Spirit went to get him, and he quickened him or made him alive. Colossians says, and Ephesians says that we're quickened with Jesus. When you became born again or accepted Jesus, you were raised from the dead with him. And so you became alive with him. This is a teaching from New Creation Realities. If you ever want to take the course, you can have the course. For $19.99. But wait, if you give now, You can have two for one. So the consequence of man's sin is spiritual death and separation of his spirit from the Spirit of God. In physical death, man's spirit is separated from his physical body. When you die, as James says, that your spirit, man, comes out of your physical body, and your body is dead without that spirit in it. It's like a glove. You have gloves. You have a glove on. I mean, your body is like a glove. You know, when your spirit's gone, you're not there anymore. So when a man dies or a woman dies, their body is there, but their spirit is gone. And listen to this: a spirit doesn't just roam around and, it goes to its maker. The Bible says, yeah. So fear of man is a snare. Fear of people and their opinions becomes a snare. Fear became a bondage to the person who suffers from it, because the Bible says in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, it becomes a bondage. Now, notice Numbers 29, 25 again in the King James. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. So we don't want to be snared. We don't want to be held captive by fearing people. So many people in churches today base their decisions on fear. So many people today in churches, even churches alone, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people, base decisions on fear. They don't tithe because they don't believe that God could actually make that up. They don't believe that God could actually make the difference. They don't believe that God actually can miraculously make 90% work better than their 100%. They don't believe that. They can't believe it. And that's the first basis of walking in with God. If you can't pass the financial test, it's very hard to live victoriously in other areas of your life, because if you can't do there, you won't be able to do it in your marriage. You won't be able to do it with your children. You can't do it with, if you ever had sickness and disease, you will never be able to, you'll just have a hard time. And the first test is the financial foundation test. The Bible teaches us that. And so, you can check on yourself. I mean, you don't take my opinion for it. Check the Bible. You be honest with yourself. Honesty is all required of you. Honesty, just be honest about it. You cannot avoid something unless you're honest with certain things. Now, you might hear me say this and think it's just my opinion. It's not my opinion. I wouldn't be preaching my opinions. I'd be sinning if I was just preaching my opinion, because it's not right. It's the Bible. So, some who know that they have a call of God upon their life or supposed to do something in a church, and then they reject that thought or ignore that thought because of fear, or just fear of man or fear of whatever, they say, I'm not going to do such and such. I kind of know on the inside I'm supposed to do this, but I'll just not yield to that. I'm just, because I'm afraid. Instead, I'll just avoid that for now and I'll put it off. That's a bondage. That's real bondage to not want to follow God. And so they fear people's, this kind of thing happens even when they know it's God's will, even in certain situations. I have friends who just put off the call of God upon their lives. They say, I'll put it off until I retire. And then I'm going to serve God. I've seen so many people say that, and they never did serve God in my lifetime. Or they put off following God because their church had a financial problem. My thought was this: first of all, you probably didn't have a calling. Or you might be in the wrong calling. Maybe you're called, but you're just in the wrong office or something. So you either you follow, if God told you that, you have to be honest. I mean, honesty is what we need, right? So they fear people's opinions too much that they give into what other people think and feel about their decisions. They say things like, what will people say if I attend this church or go to that church? Anybody ever had that experience beside me? I used to say, well, I don't want anybody to know I'm reading Kenneth Hagin books or Kenneth Copeland books. I had a lady call me from some of the highest office in Canada today and said, I've been watching your television program. I'm encouraged by what you say. I'm encouraged. I watch you every Sunday. Wow. And I'm really encouraged by your level of commitment to Jesus. Keep preaching the Word of God. Wow. I mean, we're touching into areas where we never thought we'd ever reach. So thank God for that. And we have to watch ourselves too. So, fear of man will prove to be a snare. And whoever trusts in the Lord, the Bible says, will be safe. Proverbs 29:25 in the New International Version. Whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. The fear of man brings a snare, the Amplified says. But whoever trusts in and puts in his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and saved. God's going to lift you up if you make that decision. He'll not let you fall. The Bible says even if you make a decision and your heart's right with God, he'll always make sure you won't fall far, very far. He'll find a way to get you back in there. So I'm not afraid. I remember, because I learned this lesson one time. I was in a meeting about 30 years ago, and I was in a service where they're taking $1,000 offerings, and I decided I was going to give one. That's 30 years ago, and I didn't have that much money, and I lift my hand up, and I gave commitment. And I didn't know all the scriptures, but I knew if I gave commitment, I had to follow through on it. And so I suffered because of it. You ever suffer because you did something good? You ever give a lot of money and you thought you didn't? You know, God will always make it up to you. I said, he'll always make it up to you. That's what the Bible says. Even when you think you made a mistake, when you do it for him, he's going to make sure you're going to get it all back. It's a very fine word. That'll be your status tomorrow. Amen. Look, it's in the Bible. Amen. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You better check it out. It's not in the Bible. He's making this all up. Okay. You know, we should not be led by fear in life. For as many, Romans 8:14-16, New King or the King James. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, the sons of God are led by His Spirit. That's what that scripture says. If you decipher that scripture, the first word there, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you read it, I learned this in grammar school. See, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You ever read? You ever learn English? You must learn English. Yeah. I said to her because she's French. She did learn French in English. But the funny thing about it, I went to a French school. Do I look like someone who went to a French school? I sound like a guy who went to a French school. I went to a French school, and I don't know how I did math. No wonder I flunked math. But I went to a French school. Everybody spoke French. And we were doing multiplications. I was thinking about that the other day. They were doing multiplications in French. He had asked me, and I went. I'll be back after. Anyway. For you have not, everybody said not. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, when you're born again, you did not have any fear in your heart about anything in life. Any fear that you had was learned through observation in life. So as a born-again Christian, you were not born again with a spirit of fear. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What kind of a spirit did you receive? He said, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, God loves Abba. You remember Abba? Okay, so the Spirit itself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. Your spirit on the inside of you. Your own spirit, your born-again spirit, the spirit that's led by God, that spirit here says the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. That spirit refers to the spirit, your human spirit that's led by the Spirit of God, that we are children of God. So the spirit of fear, if you're led in life by the spirit of fear, you are led by a wrong spirit, making decisions on a wrong spirit, going on a wrong path. So there's people who just, the guy says at the car dealership, you better buy now. There's only one car like that. And you go, I want this car. And your flesh is going, I want this car. And then you sign right here for 84 installments of $100 or $100,000, whatever. Easy payments, they say. And then 100 years later, the car is so old, but you're in bondage to it. So the spirit of fear will lead people into bondage. This is a wrong spirit, and there's people making decisions on fear because they fear what people think and fear of this, fear of that. Fear is of the enemy, and it'll trap you into bondage and keep you there so that you cannot ever follow God the way you want to follow God, the way you need to follow God. Let's put it that way. Is that ringing any bells somewhere in your brain? Miss Pearson is a wonderful lady. I know she doesn't get led by fear. Right? Miss Joanne knows that. She keeps going on. She's like an ever-ready battery. Just keeps going on like the bunny rabbit. Many are led by fear even after they're born again. Many Christian people are being led every day by fear and have not fully realized it. And they've been in bondage. So if we're led by the Spirit of God, He leads you right out of trouble and into a safe place. He leads you right out of sickness, right into health and healing. He leads you right out of poverty and right into prosperity and plenty. He leads you into the good land, the good place. Glory to God. Amen. He's going to lead you into a good place. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God, Romans 8:14 says. Romans 8:14 says that God is leading us inwardly by His Spirit. So we don't have to look to other people's opinions. We look on the inside of us. When being led on by fear, it's really the devil that's leading. When you ignore or reject a prompting of the Spirit to follow God into an area, and you say no, you're allowing fear and the devil to dominate your life. Because fear, if you're in fear, it'll continue to keep you in bondage. We have not been given a spirit of fear, as we said, at new birth. We don't go into bondage. God takes you out of bondage into liberal ground or liberality. Message Bible, again, 5:1, Galatians 5:1 again says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again allow anyone to put a harness of slavery on you. Romans 8:15, as we read, we don't have a spirit of bondage to fear, to be led by fear. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, evidently Timothy suffered fear of man or their opinions at some point in their in his life. And God revealed that to us, what he had suffered for our benefit. This young man who is and was a minister, Paul was writing a letter to him, and he was making some decisions and, you know, had to do certain things. How many people understand this? If you're in leadership, you can be swayed by people's opinions. And I don't know how many times I've had to face that. You better not get him mad because he's the biggest giver in the house. Don't get him mad because he'll leave the music team. Don't get him mad because he's the head of the usher team. Who's going to usher anymore? That's the last usher that'll ever come here. You know, don't do this. Don't have a television program. Who's going to support it? Don't ever take that. Why would you take that? Bring it to Northwest Ontario. They can only do that stuff in the southern part of Canada. Don't ever have that. Don't ever build a church. Don't build a Word of Faith church. Who's going to come? I'll come. Ernie will come. Amen. So a lot of times they don't have to have anybody come. We're going to them every day. I said, we're going to them by television every day. They can't get away from us. Oh, Roma's on again, you know. So 2 Timothy 1:7 says that, Paul tells us, young man, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Then he explains to them, don't let anybody intimidate you, Timothy. Don't be cowardly. Make decisions and preach what you're supposed to preach. So many, like Timothy, people can be ruled by fear in life, and they have anxiety about making decisions, and they have anxiety about making changes or changing their mind, or they have anxiety about leaving something or doing something different. They avoid things and they avoid people, and they are led in making decisions about anything in life, and they try to ignore it. It's fear. So decisions made on fear are going to destabilize you. The fear of human opinion, Proverbs 29:25, Message Bible says, the fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects you from that. The Message Bible says, Proverbs 29:25, fear of human opinion disables. We don't want to be disabled. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe, Proverbs 29:25. And in Living New International. People sometimes get obsessed about what people think about them, and they get so, enamored by that, they're held in that thought life. But Scripture clearly tells us fear of anything like that will keep us in bondage. Now let's go for an example as we get to close here. Example of a decision based on fear of people. Here's a man, also a minister and a leader. Many people who lead things have the occasion more than most people. If you're going to lead something, you're going to have criticism all the time. If you don't like criticism, don't even ever go into ministry or don't even lead anything. If you're so, what they say to me, if you're like that, stay out of it. Go home and come out when you're ready. Because you're going to find people that are not going to like you, and they don't like you whether you're doing it or not. So you might as well just go ahead and jump in. Amen. Okay. Did you find the scripture? You didn't find it yet. Okay, Galatians 2, 11 and 12. Let me read the King James Version. But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is Paul talking about his experience with this man named Peter. He said, I withstood him to his face. He said, I confronted this guy. I was going to say something else. I confronted him, this coward little man, yellow-bellied man. Do you want to be known as a coward yellow-belly? No, I don't mind. Because he was able, because he was to be blamed. So his hypocrisy was affecting a lot of other people. And sometimes because of your fear, And your lack of decisions and lack of, you know, tenacity in making the right decision, people are affected by your decision. Whether they come to Faith City Church or become part of the church or do whatever you're supposed to be doing. I didn't get too many amens there in my spirit, I can tell. But, you know, it happens when we don't make any decisions on these kind of things. He says, for before that certain came from James, or certain people came along with James, they did eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, when they were come, he withdrew himself, separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Galatians 2:12 says, Peter evidently became hypocritical because of his fear he wouldn't associate with the so-called Christians who were not Jewish and kept a certain custom or tradition. He'd rather keep his traditions than really trust God. And sometimes I remember coming out from that when I was at a certain church, we had certain traditions and culture of that church. How many people know that certain churches have a certain culture? And they just do things just because of culture. Not because of God, because Jesus told the Jewish people, you're just doing things just because of your traditions. You'd rather keep your traditions rather than follow God. And so they feared people's opinions. So Peter hid his real beliefs from other people because he was held captive by the people's opinions about him. He feared people. Had a fear of man. Some people never fully follow God's plan for their life or ministry because they fear people's opinions. The Amplified says, now when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face about his conduct there, because he stood condemned by his own actions. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat meals with the Gentiles, but when the men from Jerusalem arrived, he began to withdraw and separate himself from the Gentile believers, because he was afraid of those of the circumcision. The NLT says, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers, who are not circumcised, but afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who were insisted of the necessity of circumcision. So fear, some people fear of they fear certain things because they fear they might lose their identity and different things. I remember, the devil is very good at this. He lies to people about their Christian relationship and marriage. Some women are afraid to ever have a relationship with their husband and submit to their husbands, and because they fear that the husband's going to dominate them, or lie, or cheat on them, or whatever it is, they find unpleasant in their mind to think about. The Bible talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, where a proper relationship and a godly relationship actually works. When that happens, we will be amazed by what will happen. So we will not be afraid when we properly submit to those people we're supposed to submit to in a godly relationship, say as a pastor or in a congregant. And there's a proper submission and those kind of relationships occurring. And God has ordained it. And how many people know that submission authority is in the Bible, and there's proper submission authority in the Bible when you follow along? You know when it's not working. Yeah. And it says right here, notice over here, likewise you wives, First Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise you wives, being subjected to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives or their lifestyle. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, that's the awe of God, whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning, plaiting of hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that's the spirit, in that is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, that which is the in the sight of God a great price. For after the manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in submission unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, you're not afraid with any amazement. You know, we have to lead no matter what opinions may be. You know, some men are afraid to leave their homes for fear of the wife. They can't lead. The wife won't allow them to lead because of the fear of what the husband might do. Or vice versa. So they let the wife run the house, which is not right. It cannot ever work properly the way it's supposed to. Because God has given us each a job. If it's done right, the woman sometimes will actually lead the home. Because that's the way God designed the influence of a woman. There's no amens there either. So, okay, we have to teach on marriage and submission at some point. Okay, so men are supposed to lead in a home. Women are supposed to follow in a marriage and a home. Each one of us have our job. This is not about who's stronger, who's better. This is the way God has designed it. And we're not going to teach, you know, I don't ever tell my wife, you have to follow, you have to do this. She'll tell me what to do. You say, I ain't doing that. I could never force her into negative things because she knows her Bible enough. She wouldn't do it. She said, I ain't doing that. What are you crazy or something? Like, I mean, we have to understand this. There's balance in the home, and men who try to force their wives and try to mess with them in a violent way and corruptive way, they're not right with God, and they don't love their wife the way they're supposed to. If you actually love your wife, you wouldn't treat your wife like you would be, beating your own physical body or pulling your teeth out, pulling your eye out, or pulling all your hair out. You'd be a mess. The Bible teaches that if you really love your wife, you wouldn't be treating your body like that. Amen. Oh, you would just take care of it. Shave it, pluck it, and I mean you would do whatever, comb it up, you know, and color it up, whatever you want to do to make it look good, right? Okay, all right. Let's just skip this part. Let's close right now to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. Hebrews 13, 5 to 6 says, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You can find many such scriptures like this, that you don't have to fear what people say or do if you follow God. Let's go ahead and close. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. And we'll come back to the family matters on another time. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we trust you. Let's go ahead and stand up, because you've been sitting such a long time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We will not be led by fear of anything in life. We're not going to be led by fear. Fear of people's opinions. Fear of making a wrong decision. But we're going to be trusting you and your word. And we when we make a decision, we just say, is that in the Bible? Is that in the word of God? And when we make decisions as family, we'll just say, where's that in the scripture? Thank you that your word is a lamp and a guide into our lives. Thank you that we can run our lives, that everything we do is based on your holy written word, guided by it, supported by it, strengthened by it, standing on it, standing with it, being held together with the word of God, being held steady in the time of tough situations, anchored by the word of God in our hearts. Thank you that nothing can shake us or scare us away from ever following you. Lack will not make us fear of following you. Any such thing, sickness, if the devil has told someone, oh, you're going to get sick. I remember that favorite thing the devil used to say, if you follow, if you do what God tells you to do, you'll die and get sick. You'll die early. You know, the Bible said, with long life will I satisfy and show my salvation. He said, I'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I'll support everything you do. With long life will I satisfy you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. When we've made mistakes, Father, and we've made a lot of them, when we thank you that you are so merciful and gracious to continue to lift over this makasheli ho ma shiti me. Soto kola ma. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So begin to act on the word of faith. Begin to cast aside the people's opinions and thoughts. Begin to do what I say and make every decision based on my word. And you can begin to see that you're in freedom, that fear will dissipate and disappear. And soon that you'll be walking in your freedom and in the will and promises of God. And see healing affecting your body and seeing the prosperity come and the success come. And then the ties that had bound you will disappear and the ropes that have been around your neck will be gone. Then the iron clasp upon your head will finally be gone forever. And the enemy will disappear like a vapor of smoke and vanish away. And you'll soon be rejoicing in the things that I've told you and have showed you a long time ago in my word. And you shall not be afraid, but you'll be led by my spirit without any fear, trepidation about any man, woman, man or thing or any object or any such person. Fear will be gone. You must make a commitment. As the psalmist said, as a way of life, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and give him praise and thanksgiving. Father, we praise you. We thank you for our freedom, liberated in Jesus Christ, that fear cannot dominate. We will not be afraid of sickness. We will not be afraid of bad news. We will not be afraid of lack of funds or finances. We will not be afraid of shortages. We will not be afraid of the economy. We will not be afraid of people and their opinions. We will not be afraid of the conditions of the world, in the epidemics in our city or country, in the conditions of our society. We will make decisions purely based on your word. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're dismissed.